Okay, where are these holes in the ground then? Well, they're all over the place is the answer, but they are concentrated in certain regions, at least the ones we know. There's a map of the world showing these holes in the ground, the craters. Now, one over here in Mexico, you can see, one little blip there. That's the one which did off the dinosaurs, as far as we know. In fact, we believe there are many impacts at the same time, but that's the biggest one that has been identified so far. You can also see there are a lot of craters in Australia. There are 19 known impact craters in Australia. You also notice that most of the rest are either in Europe or in North America. Now, that isn't a random distribution, and it isn't even the real distribution of craters. The reason that we know of this distribution is, first of all, people have actually looked for them. Now, I hate to tell you this, but the people who have been finding them in Australia are not Australians. To a large extent, over the last few years, it's the team that actually discovered that comet about to hit Jupiter, which has done it. Jean and Caroline Shoemaker must be real masochists, because they spend the whole of the northern winter and then the spring searching the skies with telescopes in North America, and then they leave behind their summer up north and they come down to Australia to spend our winter here. So they get two winters every year. Most people like me try and do it the other way around, but they spend the winters down here, and they have a four-wheel drive, which indeed is actually housed normally here in Melbourne, and they go driving around the outback looking at craters, measuring them and trying to decide, well, are they really an impact crater or not? And they've been very successful. That was one of the reasons for why we know those craters. We've looked for them in different places. Secondly, you need relatively inert geology. Okay, there may have been an earthquake in Newcastle a couple of years ago, but nevertheless, we get very few earthquakes or volcanic eruptions here in Australia. So it's a good place to look for craters. The same applies to the two other regions where we see those big areas with lots and lots of craters. The third thing which is significant is weathering. Do you get very much weathering? And you see the craters in Australia, and you'll see they're mostly in arid regions. So they get very little weathering in those sorts of places to erode them away. And again, the same sort of thing applies to many of the regions up in Canada in particular, where they're not eroded away for a different reason, they're just frozen solid a lot of the time. Okay, the other reason why it's easier to spot craters in certain areas is that a crater in the Gibson Desert is relatively straightforward to find. People kind of have this idea in their heads that because we've been hit only in the past, they think that we are safe from these things in the future. Well, look, I've mentioned to you there are 19 impact craters in Australia. And I showed you Gosse's Bluff. I said it was 143 million years ago. I also showed you Wolf Creek, and I forgot to tell you, I think it's 300,000 years old. So you can kind of make yourself happy and think, well, that was a long, long time ago. It's not going to happen again soon. Out of those 19, four are less than 6,000 years old. Okay, now you're coming down now to a timescale which is like the human lifetime. On top of that, I'm absolutely convinced that there are probably hundreds more which are yet to be discovered, which are of similar ages. In fact, if I show you a plot here, diameter against age for terrestrial impact craters from the last 25 million years. Look, you can see it's heavily populated down here, but there's very few across this way. The only old craters, the ones with big ages across here, ages in millions of years, are the biggest ones. That is, if a crater is to survive for millions of years, it's got to be big. The small ones are eroded away very, very quickly. So we only see this dense population here, but in reality, it should continue all the way across the bottom. But all the ones which would be here across the bottom, these heaps and heaps of relatively small craters, have been eroded away. So again, we've been fooling ourselves into thinking that we don't get hit by these things very often. And that is absolute bunk. We do. But the evidence quickly gets eroded away, even if a crater is formed. And a more worrying thing, as I'm now going to show you, is that in fact, very rarely is a crater formed at all. The last time we were hit by something big was in 1908, when a lump of rock about 50 or 60 meters across blew up in the atmosphere above Siberia. It blew up at an altitude of between 6 and 10 kilometers. It didn't get anywhere near the ground. Nevertheless, it blasted flat 2,000 square kilometers of forest. And the fall region, you can see up in the top right there, is considerably bigger than Washington, D.C., or New York City, or indeed Melbourne, if we wanted to put it on that plot. The other thing which is shown there, which is the strong indicator of what actually happened, is that the trees shown in the top right plot are all fell over radially away from the center. It's a blast, kablam, shot them outwards. On top of that, in fact, if you go there and you take a look, you'll find that those trees are all charred on one side only. They are not burnt through. They are charred on one side only. So you could scratch your head and say, well, how could that be true? What actually happened was the lump of rock came in and it blew up, and there was a huge radiative flux, much brighter than the sun. It dried out the trees and ignited them on one side, just like you struck a match. But then the match got blew out straight away. It got blew out by the blast wave, which came through 30 seconds or maybe a few minutes later. So they were ignited on one side only, and before they had time to totally incinerate themselves, the whole thing was blown out and the trees were flattened. And you might think we know lots and lots about this, but look, the first scientific expedition of any note at all went in there 20 years later, when a lot of it was overgrown. There are still scientific expeditions going in because we need to learn more from this. If such a thing as that happened above a city, that city's had it. Okay? It isn't a matter of it causing some damage. The city would just be almost disappeared.